It is a pleasure to be here, and before I start, I want to tell you young ladies how beautiful that song sounded. I've been around the church for over 40 years. I don't think I've heard that sung as beautifully as that was. Just an exquisite job, just excellent. I think there was a male up there or something in it, but I didn't really hear him. It was the brothers and sisters, I am extremely thankful for the opportunity to stand before you tonight and to deliver this message. I know that there are many brothers out there who are much more talented than I am, much wiser than I am, and have a much better command of the scriptures than I do. But I'm extremely thankful for the privilege of standing here and the trust that has allowed me to take up this time. Because think about it, this hour, if we waste it, we can never, never, never regain it. So I invite your participation. I invite your smiles, obviously. And my golf game wasn't half as bad as he really let on. I played account golf my whole career, so I let the other guy win, or something like that. I'm coming tonight, and I'm going to do an old Frank fan positive. I'm going to introduce my sermon with a poem by Helen Steiner Rice. This poem is titled People's Problems. And I'd really like for you to think about it. Traveling and working with folks in the field, we become very close, just as my brother said. And so they begin to share their innermost problems. They share those concerns and reservations. They share concerns about things they don't really grasp in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And fortunately, I've been blessed to, upon many occasions, deal with misunderstandings and being able to supply that information. My brother Roger and Jim Case and many others share that same experience. And it's exciting when you see that look, that problem that is just overpowering them kind of is relieved a little bit. And so I've been working on this subject that I'm bringing to you tonight, and I'd like to begin with the flavor of Helen Steiner Rice's poem, People's Problems. Everyone has problems in this restless world of care. Everyone grows weary with the cross they have to bear. Everyone is troubled, and their skies are overcast. As they try to face the future while still dwelling in the past. But the people with their problems only listen with one ear. For people only listen to the things they want to hear. And they only hear the kind of things they are able to believe, and the answers that are God's to give, they're not ready to receive. So while the people's problems keep growing every day, and man vainly tries to solve them in his own way, own self-willful way, God seeks to help and watches, waiting always patiently to help them solve their problems, whatever they may be. So may the people of all nations at last become aware that God will solve the people's problems through faith and hope and prayer. And those are the three things that I've been trying to work with. I was visiting with a sister, and she had problems that were just literally insurmountable for me. And right away I began to think, I don't have the education to handle this situation. I don't have a background with these kind of things. By background, I have been a rough, tough person, which Jennifer can attest to you. In my younger years, I was exposed to different things. But this problem his sister had, I couldn't even touch. In my wildest expectation, I couldn't imagine what she goes through. And I'm not educated enough to be able to help her. So we talked, we went through the scriptures, and just like the poem said, only a small portion of what I was able to offer her seemed to be registering with her. And I went away that evening knowing that as a child of God, as her brother, I had failed her. I called Jennifer and I said, Jen, I failed this sister tonight. I was not able to reach out and offer her something for her problem. I said, the only thing I could tell her is that I'd pray for her. And I walked away so, feeling so inadequate. I came home about a week later, and I was sitting in my office, and I had been, really, this thing had been bothering me a great deal, because again, I couldn't touch with any of my experiences, with any of my understanding or lack of understanding, the problems this family was going through. And all of a sudden, a voice spoke to me. And it said, what greater gift can you offer her than my care? Your prayers are her contact with me. And boy, I really felt down then. Because the Spirit was telling me that the greatest gift that you and I have to offer all mankind is the hope of prayer to God Himself, who the veil has been torn, and He is receptive to our prayers. No, we're not psychologists. We're not financiers. We're not doctors. But we have the greatest medication that's available to man. And that's what the Spirit was telling me. It said, what greater gift can you offer them than my aid, my assistance? And obviously, I felt very lacking, because I hadn't seen the great importance of taking that family and that sister to our knees immediately in prayer. Don't ever simplify the beauty, the graciousness of the Holy Spirit and its calling upon the hearts of the children. Brothers and sisters, turn in your scriptures, if you would, to John, the 8th chapter, the 19th verse. This is one of the most important points, I think, that we as a people can offer. John, the 5th chapter, the 19th verse. Now, Jesus is being bantied by the local hierarchy. They're saying to him, where is the proof of your testimony? But I think Christ answers for you and I today. I really do. And I think this is the message. If you take anything away from the sermon tonight, think about this. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth. My book is torn there. The Father likewise, I believe. That is a great scripture. But it's the wrong one.
You said 9th chapter of 1.
8th chapter of John. Please.
Now that's the 5th.
Communicate with me, brother. Don't fight. It's just, it's all Stephen's fault. It's just, seriously, John the 8th chapter, 19th verse. And they're giving Christ a hard time for his testimony. And they say, then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Gary. Ye neither know me, nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Think about that for a second. Let's say there's hypothetically people in the world who do not recognize Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God. So tell me, what hope? What hope do they have? Because Christ says, if you don't know me, you don't know the Father that sent me. If I don't have hope in Jesus Christ, I am of all men most miserable. And these people, not just here in this quest of time, but these people of today that are looking for something that they can pour out on the earth and make it so much better, don't even know the Father, many times, that sent the Son as the hope. If you hear someone say, we all serve the same God, don't listen to them. Because we really don't. Unless they recognize Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God, they do not worship the same God. God seeks to help and watches, waiting always patiently to help them solve their problems, whatever they may be. So may the people of all nations at last become aware that God will solve the people's problems through faith and hope and prayer. That's the only relief you and I can serve them. A brother told me one time, he said, Bob, how many people have you converted? And I had to explain to him, not a one. And thank God for it. Because Randy and I, we don't. Dan and I, we don't convert people. If we do, it's a very poor conversion. But God brings them not only through conversion, but bring them to conviction. Conviction in his word. Conviction in his actions. Conviction in the love that was spoken of earlier. The greatest commandment is what? the lawyer and the eunuch ask? To love the Lord your God with all the heart, might, mind, and strength. And the second is likened to the first. To love your neighbor as yourself. And upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All. If we can't take that love and that hope and that prayerful commitment, we have nothing. This slide I'm showing the Luke, the 12th chapter, and in fact, if you'd turn to that for me, Luke 12, 46 and 48. Now, this is a man that has servants, and he told his servant he wanted ABC completed by the time he returned. Okay? 46, 47, 48. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. But listen now, the qualifications of this servant. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. He knew without question the will of his master. He knew it, and he refused to prepare for it. And that servant which knew the Lord's will and prepared not, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Think about it. King Benjamin went to his people, and it was massively wall to wall, field to field people, so much that his voice couldn't reach them all. So they had to write it down and deliver it to them afterwards. All these people. And what did he say to them? He said, you've known from your childhood. You've known God's will. You have God's will. Only your children are exempt. Brothers and sisters, think of the condition you and I set in this today. Be honest. We know. We have been given a greater portion of the knowledge. We are embraced completely with the Word of God, because in 1830, if you believe in this church, you believe that Christ brought forth his gospel in completeness. Do you believe that? Now, it doesn't make sense. I'm not saying we're perfect people, but I don't think it makes sense to believe that Christ would only bring most of his word back. Isaiah says his word will not return unto him void. What did Christ restore? His gospel and his authority. And what is the most magnificent part of that? The atoning grace of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who suffered and bled and died for you and for me. Brothers and sisters, you and I are just like King Benjamin's people. We have the knowledge. We cannot offer excuses. It doesn't make us better than anyone else. It doesn't make us worse than anyone else. It makes us servants, not judges, but servants. You and I qualify for the one on the right because the gospel was restored and it's available to us. If we have chosen not to embrace ourselves in it or to encompass ourselves in it, it's not Christ's fault. It's our fault. That doesn't make you worthless. Because what does that give us? It gives us the opportunity to place that cloak of His word about us and go about His work now for whatever time we have left. If you have that knowledge, have courage, move forward, partake of it, and share it with conviction. Go to Mosiah 1. 106. Mosiah 1, 106. And that's on page 216. And behold, all these things are done that a righteous judgment might come upon the children of men. For behold, and also His blood atoneth for the sins of those who have fallen by the transgression of Adam, who have died not knowing the will of God concerning them, or who have ignorantly sinned. Remember when Joel gave a testimony this morning and he talked about people that didn't know God? Christ has accepted the burden of those in ignorance that honestly don't know. Christ has accepted that. And He has put you and I here as servants and not as judges. Our work is to carry that message that He has back to that family and to tell them that God is willing and desirous to be a part of them. Well, that doesn't sound like much because, you know, these other associations, they've got money, they've got psychologists, they've got doctors. But we have God. We have God's promises. We have His completeness. And you and I, as we go out, we don't have to go out as second-class citizens. We go out as servants of the Most High God with the answer. If you and I will study to show ourselves approved, that a workman, you and I are worthy. For behold, and also His blood atoneth for the sins of those who have fallen by the transgressions of Adam, who have died not knowing the will of God concerning them, or who have ignorantly sinned. But woe, woe unto him who knoweth that he rebelleth, the servant that knew the task at hand and didn't do it. For salvation cometh to none such, except it be through repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, because you and I, we don't have the power to bring them back from that. We can share our testimony. We can share our experiences. We can sing praises to our God. We can carry that message forth. But we can't force them to take it. It's up to them. It's up to you. It's up to me. King Benjamin was speaking to all these people. Go to 1 Mosiah, 1st chapter, the 39th verse, and listen to what this old crotchety king had to say to them. Verse 39 on page 210. Excuse me, 211. Boy, I'm being consistent. 39th verse. For I have not commanded you to come up hither to trifle with the words which I shall speak, but that you should hearken unto me and open your ears that ye may hear, and your hearts that ye may understand, and your minds that the mysteries of God. If you don't know me, you don't know the Father that sent me. King Benjamin here is saying, I've taught you from the beginning. All you except your children know what I'm teaching. And I'm teaching you the word of God. And he said, don't come up here to trifle with my words. What does that mean? Anyone? Gary? Yeah, don't come up here and argue with me. I'm telling you the words of God, right? If you don't know me, you don't know the voice of the master that sent me. And that's why it's important, brothers and sisters, that you and I hear the voice of the Lord speak. Let me give you a little test. The first sermon was by who? Brother Randy, did you hear the voice of the Lord speaking? I think I did. I think I did. Brother Dan was next, right? I certainly heard the word of the Lord speaking through him. I heard his words pure and absolute with such a mannerism that I knew it was the love of God that caused that man to study, to bring forth that word. And then this morning, little old rocks in the head, or no, I guess it wasn't that, it was rocks in the body. Did you like that? Yeah, I did. Because what did he do? He opened the word of God with examples that you and I can understand. Hey, this stuff makes sense to me. This is not complicated. It's not brain surgery. But it's loyalty, it's prayer, it's faith. For I have not commanded you to come up hither to trifle with the words which I shall speak, but that you should hearken unto me and open your ears that ye may hear, and your hearts that ye may understand, and your minds that the mysteries of God may be unfolded to your view. Let's turn to the 76th verse, same chapter, just over a page or so. I say unto you that there is not one among you except it be your little children that has not been taught concerning these things, but what knoweth that ye are eternally indebted to your heavenly Father. Is there anyone here other than the little children? And don't show me hands. Don't show me hands. Is there anyone here that does not realize that we are indebted for our very eyelids to our God in heaven? No, there isn't. So King Benjamin was telling his people, you have the tools. Are you using them? The 79th through the 85th verse. And now I say unto you, my brethren, and after ye have known and have been taught all these things, if ye should transgress and go contrary to that which hath been spoken, that ye do withdraw yourselves from the Spirit of the Lord, that it may have no place in you. To guide you in wisdom's path, that ye may be blessed, prospered, and preserved. I say unto you that the man that doth this thing, the same cometh out in open rebellion against God. Why? Because you knew it right up front. I've taught you, as long as I've been your king, I've taught you, I brought you to the bar of God himself and shown you God's will. I've taught you. Therefore, he listeth to obey the evil spirit and becometh an enemy to all righteousness. Therefore, the Lord hath no place in him, for he dwelleth not in unholy temples. Therefore, if that man repenteth not and remaineth and dieth an enemy to God, the demands of divine justice doth awaken his immortal soul to a lively sense of his own guilt. Now listen to the next verse. Seriously, pay attention to the next verse. Which doth cause him to shrink from the presence of the Lord, and doth fill his breast with guilt and pain and anguish, which is like an unquenchable fire, whose flames ascendeth up forever and ever. But you say, wait, hold on. We're saved by grace. And you're right. We are saved by grace. Go with me in the Bible to John, the 5th chapter. John, the 5th chapter. And I'm going to use the through the 29th. Christ is speaking. Can't get any higher than that, brothers and sisters. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment. He's not a servant. He is the judge. You and I are the servants. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now listen to this. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all, see that word, A-L-L, all, not some, not a few, but all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. How do you go to the resurrection of damnation? Because you are shrinking from the very presence of our God. Because of an eternal life, I believe God and His Son will be there to be with His children. We are saved to eternity by the grace of Jesus Christ who died on the cross. But go to Revelation, the 20th chapter, the 12th and the 13th verses. Revelation 20, 12 and 13. Now, if you go to the first verse of Revelation, you'll find that this is a revelation given from God to Jesus Christ, to be given to His angels, to be given to His servants. Any servants in here? You bet. You bet. If we're not, we're here for a social. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books, plural form, books, were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. So that's three books they're talking about there. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, plural form. They were judged by the things that were written in the books. So, brothers and sisters, we are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, who loves us, who gave His life, who died on the cross, who asked His Father, can this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. And He is the just and the loving judge. So we will live. We will receive salvation through the grace of Jesus Christ. But we will be judged by our works, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So folks, if you've been bad, you ain't going to hell. You're going to eternal damnation. And that's not Bob Oldham saying it. That's not Bob Hedrick saying it. That's God who gave this revelation to His servants to carry forth to all mankind. Let's go to Messiah 1, 86 through 91. Page 215. O all ye old men, and also ye young men, and you little children which can understand my words, for I have spoken plain unto you, that ye might understand. I pray that ye should awake to the remembrance of the awful situation of those that have fallen into transgression. And moreover, I would desire that you should consider on the blessed and happy state of those that keep the commandments of God. For behold, they are blessed in all things, both temporal and spiritual. And if they hold faithful to the end, they are received into heaven, and thereby they may dwell with God in a never-ending happiness, a state of never-ending happiness. Oh, remember that these things are true, for the Lord God has spoken it. If you don't know the voice, my voice, you don't know the voice of the Father. And if we don't know His voice, we don't recognize that greater gospel, that not greater gospel, the greater understanding of the gospel, the pure understanding of the gospel, the magnificent, the simplistic understanding of the Word of God. Oh, remember that these things are true, for the Lord God has spoken it. Brothers and sisters, next time you sing that song, "Send Me," think about what you're asking. Think about what you're saying. When you say, "Send me," are you ready to go? May God bless you, is my prayer.